Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome, everybody, to Wildfire Radio, Small Bites, beginning of a new year. I'm Donato Marino with DNL Coffee to Barista Service. Well, I haven't said that in a while.
So it's like riding a bike, though, Don.
It is.
It comes naturally.
It's a little tongue teaser.
Tongue twister?
Tongue twister. Teaser, twister, whatever.
Well, it's the only kind of twister I want to go on in here. Yeah. But it's good to see you, buddy.
Same here. Looks like you lost some weight.
I don't think I lost that much.
Must be the new jumpsuit.
Probably. The wife got you like that?
I like it. I'm jealous.
I told her I'm hanging out with Italians. I got to have a nice sweatsuit.
It's not polyester, though.
But you had a good Mummers.
We did have a good Mummers.
And I think our Mummers episode went over fabulously.
Yes, it did. I got a lot of positive feedback from a lot of the clubs that listened to it.
Well, I got quite a few emails and a couple messages on Facebook that people thanked us.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoyed it. And I wanted to throw out a couple I told you so's, because I think during the show I did say that the Wench Brigade or the comics were going to get somebody in trouble. And I hate to do the. Oh, I told
well,
you
least
so.
It wasn't the comic side of it. It was the.
It was the wench.
The wenches,
brigade.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it was the brigade that I used to march
right.
in.
Right. Well, it was two guys that went on their own.
We don't have to get into specifics. But
on a good note.
But as I did say, if you remember the show, I did recommend to Angelo. I said maybe they should just keep them out of the normal parade so they don't get everyone else in trouble. Because there is no requirements to be in the Wench Brigade.
No,
except,
there isn't.
Except
no.
to show up and be
you
able
walk
to drink
up,
a lot.
You give them a little bit of money, they throw a suit on you, and they tell you, run up Broad Street.
But
it's like Forrest Gump, run. Stop.
Run, Forrest, run. But 2020 brought a lot of great things for us. 2019 brought us, we were the number one listed food radio show in Philadelphia. 2018 actually brought us that. 2019 brought us the number one listed food radio show in South Jersey.
Yes.
So I don't know how we got listed in Philadelphia first before South Jersey, but maybe South Jersey takes a little while to get used to us. Must be the Philadelphia in us, Don.
Must be the water.
Must be the water.
The water.
Yeah. Want that soda pop?
one good thing I got to say, though, is our comic club, Cahill's NYA, we took third place in the whole parade for comics, and first place in Best of Murray, which is the mother club.
Hmm.
So I'm very proud of our organization.
Awesome. Well, congratulations, buddy. And I'm actually going to introduce myself in case anyone forgot. Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. See, that just rolled.
It does.
Right off the tongue. But enough about us. People have already probably tuned out, said, these guys just going to keep blabbing on about themselves, how great they are? No, that's why we have guests.
Yeah.
And we have a fantastic guest with us in studio. And that's Jim Malaby, the owner slash chef of Blue Plate in Mullica Hill. And I couldn't be more thrilled that you are sitting here, which means you guys are back in business. Congratulations.
Yes, we are back open. Finally, after a year and a few weeks, we finally got the doors reopened.
So it was a year and a few weeks. For those who don't know what happened, it was an unfortunate fire. So I don't want to bring up any terrible memories, but it's an instance that some people never want to go through in their life and may never experience it. But for those who haven't, if you can you elaborate to us from the minute it happened, what went on and your thoughts, because that has to be a nightmare come true, whether you saw it on the phone, somebody came to you, however it was that you received the news. Do you want to go back and tell us what it was and how it came about?
Sure, sure. It was Sunday night, after hours, home already, getting ready for bed. Phone goes off. Actually, my phone doesn't go off. It's on mute. My wife's phone goes off. Alarm, fire alarm's going off at the restaurant. She tells me, no big deal. Let me go check it out. You know, it's always a false alarm. I show up, fire commissioner's there, there's smoke. I'm like, okay, this not what I expected. You know, it took them, I have no clue, 20, 25 minutes, you know, lots of firefighters, everyone gets there to get it under control. You know, deep breath, okay, no big deal. Couple days, couple weeks, whatever it is, we'll flip it. You know, in my mind, it was like a broken pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, we'll deal with it, we'll move on. The aftermath, the day after, you realize.
Well, let's go back. So you roll up, you see the fire trucks. In your mind, you're just thinking, because you mentioned, oh, it's just a false alarm. Was it a normal occurrence to have a false alarm here or there?
Burglar alarms more often.
Okay.
The fire alarms never, but it didn't click in my
head. Didn't click. You're just thinking, oh, I just got to go back after I've just been here for probably 16 hours.
Yeah, and actually when I rolled up, it was only the fire commissioner. No trucks were even there yet. So I just thought that he just beat me to the punch. You know, I live a few minutes away, firehouse a few minutes away. Just figured he beat me to the punch. You know, and then when you roll up and you actually see smoke. No flames at that time. And you're like, okay.
And what does he do? Does he make sure that, because probably first instinct is that you want to go in and see what the hell's going on.
Yeah, you know, my safety, stay away. You know, guys are on their way. You know, just stay back. You know, he's assessing the whole situation, trying to pinpoint where the fire was. At first, we thought it was in the kitchen. It was actually on an eave outside the kitchen. It was a spotlight that had shorted out and caught fire. But all the smoke bellowed into the building, into the dining rooms. And we had just remodeled 6 months prior and expanded 6 months prior to all that. So it was, you know, once I got inside and everything was, you know, put out, you know, to see the smoke damage, the water damage throughout the building, it was, you know, kind of bummer.
And you're the first one on site. So the anxious feelings of not knowing what's going on, a lifetime's worth of work. I mean, you're a business owner.
Yeah,
Don.
I can imagine if I came to my warehouse and it saw flames and it's like, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. And also that natural instinct, as we're saying, is you as a human want to be the person who's attacking the problem.
Sure, right. Sure. And I mean, you know, I'm a hands-on guy. You know, they were in there, like I said, they were trying to assess the situation, find out where the fire was. And they're like, oh, I think it's here. I can tell you where it is. Let me in. And they're, stay back. I'm like, but stay back.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that was fun.
For your own safety, though.
Of course.
And, but for you, you're just like, ah!
Yeah. And of course, I look back and I'm like, I was crazy to even think that I wanted to go in there.
Yeah.
But you know, you want to do something. So, you know, literally just standing there and watching it burn, you know, it's a little wrenching.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got it under control and I was like, okay, you know, it's not as bad as it could have been. But the next morning, once the sun comes up and you really get to see
what went on,
you know, the floors being soggy and the walls dripping still with moisture from the hoses and the smoke stained everything, then it really gets into you.
Is it a scent that you won't forget? Because I hear that, I've heard that on like television programs that people say when their house burnt down or some sort of tragic fire happened, that it's a certain smell that will trigger that thought, and it's very specific.
Yes, yeah. And actually, you know, I smell it at the restaurant when we are smoking items now. That beginning of the smoking process, it triggers that in my mind.
But isn't that weird how the human mind works?
It is. It is.
And it brings it into like perspective that thank God no one was hurt. Thank goodness you were able to reopen. But it brings it into a broader perspective of when they say post-traumatic stress and you have the soldiers coming back, you could only imagine what these service members go through.
Sure. I mean, you know, the restaurant catching on fire in the grand scheme of things is meaningless, you know, to life.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what it took, you know. I mean, you know, prior to that, and I mean, still to this day, it's, you know, my number one, you know, it's family and restaurant, and, you know, they fight for number one constantly. But, you know, today, you know, the restaurant loses a little bit because it's just not that important, you know, and it's just an object.
Exactly. So the following day you go, you're assessing the damage. What would be the first thing that you look for, Don? Like, if you had a fire, what would be the first thing that you're looking for?
I guess I would have to look to see if there's anything salvageable. What? How long would it take to open back up?
So was that what you were thinking? Like, what can I save and when am I going to open again?
Yeah. I mean, you know, from day one, I was like, okay, this may be, you know, 3 months, you know, okay, we got to fix this, fix that. You know, we have some damage here. You know, I'll give it 3 months. And, you know, the 3 month period, I don't think we got anything done prior, you know, besides just cleaning the place out. It's just a very long, painful process on going through inventorying what was lost, inventorying what was damaged, and then continuing to find things that are damaged. You know, smoke gets everywhere.
So does water.
Water gets everywhere. You know, so the fire was in the back of the restaurant, but, you know, the front dining room had smoke damage. You know, the chairs had smoke damage. You know, they sat there and just sucked up that smoke, all that material that's in the seats, in the booths, and in the paint, just sucks up that stuff. So, you know, even though we'll clean and, you know, still can smell. All right, you got to rip the drywall down. Got to rip the insulation down. You know, it just keeps on going and going.
Now, being a chef owner, it can be a little bit different, I assume, maybe, if you're just strictly the owner. But being a chef owner, when you aren't at your place of employment, what was it like? Like, when you're at home cooking, does it go through your mind like, I'm not supposed to be cooking here, I should be cooking somewhere else?
Sure. You go through and you realize, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. You know, all the little things you have at the restaurant, all the toys chefs have, I don't have at home. Some chefs do. So it was uncomfortable being home all those times, and especially when you work 12, 16 hours a day, then all of a sudden you're home for 24 hours a day, day after day after day. So it gets to be, you know, a mind game going on.
But is there, let's see, in my mind, as difficult as it is for the family, did the family at least eat well this entire time?
on occasion we did.
Because I'm thinking to myself, well, he may not be at the restaurant, but he's going to at least be home to be cooking us something, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, there was occasions where, you know, we went all out and did some fun stuff. And then there were days where we just took a break.
So what was the first time that it actually hit you when you said it's going to be a long time? Because like you said, you're thinking the whole time, all right, 3 months, I think we can do it in 3 months. And you're reaching that 3 month period and mentioned we're just inventorying still.
The fire start was at end of August. We thought we would be open for the holiday season. When Thanksgiving rolled around, you know, prior to Thanksgiving, a week prior, and we're like, okay, we're not going to be there for Christmas, but it's only Thanksgiving. Then Christmas rolls around, New Year's rolls around. And by the way, I'm home. New Year's, I'm home at 10 p.m., not at the restaurant where every chef is, you know. Then it's like, all right, when is the ball going to get rolling? You know, who's holding up the process today? Every day there was something else going on, you know, just a lot of entities, you know, and moving parts.
Now, it would be a different scenario if, again, because you are taking dual roles, if you were just the chef or just the owner. So you're feeling the brunt of both being employee and being the owner. But being the owner brings the onus of being responsible for others. What was the situation? What was the mood? How do you stay in communication with your employees of what's going on, updates, things like that? I mean, because like for you too, Don, I mean, you have people that work for you. Yeah, yeah. You have a workforce.
Yeah. They have to make a living as well. I mean, if you can't supply it, you got to hope that, you know, that when you're ready to move on, that they're willing to step back and help you, you know, open up the business and move forward.
So how do you proceed with that?
Well, what we did was we had key employees come in day after the fire, help clean up. Everybody was very willing. Either later on that day or the next day, I don't remember when it was, we had all employees on hand, recapped everything. We'll be in touch. This is what happened. This is what we're expecting. 3 months, quote unquote. We're going to take care of this. You know, hang loose. And, you know, if you have to go get jobs, got it, understood. But, you know, we're going to reopen. And as time went on, balls didn't bounce the right way. You know, employees went other places, picked up other jobs and things of that nature, but always willing, you know, if I said, hey, you know, we're going to go through our off-site storage and, you know, see a couple things, and no problem, we'll meet up with you. And, you know, they were all, you know, all my employees were very willing to come back, help out, you know, through the whole process.
And to fast forward quite a bit, not to get to the end of the story, but of course you've reopened, but I have to say, amazingly, and I think it's a testament to you and obviously the owner slash boss that you must be, I've heard of the retention rate that came back to work for you. Can you speak on that?
We, you know, knock on wood, we did great. We only had 3 or 4 people who didn't come back. Those are girls or guys who were away at college or went away to college.
And we're talking about a workforce about 30 people, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that's amazing.
Correct. You know, we had, you know, one person who moved to Florida during that time, one person who, I guess, financially didn't need to come back to work, you know. No one didn't come back to work because they picked up a job someplace else.
But that's a testament. That really speaks for itself. I mean,
yeah, if you treat your employees that good and they're willing to
for over a year.
Over a year, yep.
And the minute that you're opening that door, they're right by your side.
They were. It's
that's amazing.
It's amazing. And, you know, to this day, they're still there, you know. You know, they're always there. You know, they're just as much part of the restaurant as
without a doubt. I mean, you may, for a large part, come up with the menu, the executive chef, you're the owner, but and you know too, Don, the place doesn't run without 90% of the other people.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Person who welcomes them at the door. If you got somebody opening that door, what do you want?
Yeah.
Hoping for a meal. Oh, joy. Yeah. But that's how it has to be successful. You can't be everywhere. You can't be the hostess. You can't be the server. You're not the busboy. You can only handle so much. You're one person. So to have everyone say, it's not just you are Blue Plate, we are Blue Plate.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm still amazed, you know, telling you this story. It could be 500 times, 600 times since I've told the story since the fire, that I'm just amazed, you know, that the staff, you know, they stepped up. They were there during the whole time being down, and they were the first ones to say, okay, what do we need to do to reopen?
That's, fantastic. And obviously, you can't finance this all on your own. There had to be bumps along the way. What was the biggest hurdle of getting it back open?
Just, you know, dealing with insurance. You know, they're, you know, you need to have them. They're there for you. But, you know.
At least supposed to be. We'll see.
but you know, working with them is probably the biggest hurdle. And, of course, you know, we are dealing with a building that dates back to the 1800s.
Wow.
It hasn't had a major remodel in decades. So bringing it up to code was, you know,
a challenge.
A challenge. You know, just, you know, there was just so many things. I mean, everyone willing to work with us and do whatever it needed to do to get it open. But it was just, you know, okay, new code, new reason, okay, more money to spend.
So besides insurance, was there anything else that surprised you as a hurdle or difficulty? Because sometimes businesses, as much as a town or county could be progressive, sometimes their code enforcement, or I've heard nightmares of someone remodeling and then, the hood is a sixth of an inch out of whack. Shut it down.
Yeah.
$5,000 more. How was the relationship there?
Great. I mean, the township was great. I mean, our biggest hurdle, you know, we had a fire, you know, so they were concerned about making sure that we properly upgraded all the fire codes, you know, and being a building 1800 from 1800, it's made of wood, the wood is old, you know, they have a major concern about making sure that we do everything properly. You know, so that was a major small hurdle, because we expected it. We just maybe didn't expect everything that we came across. You know, the building now is 100% sprinklered.
So something that was unfortunately out of your control, and it was a tragedy, hopefully in the future with the upgrades, I mean, completely sprinkled. Yeah. That only happened to me in college. But having sprinklers throughout, hopefully it would suppress it. I mean, that's quite an upgrade.
Correct. And there's, I feel there's dozens of others. There's probably only three or four, but I just felt every day there was something else. And I jokingly say that, you know, we have so much now fire suppression there that if we lit a birthday candle for a guest, a magical hand would come out of the ceiling and puff that candle right on out.
If wildfires ever hit Mullica Hill, your location is the place to bunker down.
Yeah, we're the only building still standing. Yeah, I mean, we have fireproof paint throughout the building. The sprinkler system, I can't remember, three or four other things that just, you know, we're head scratching, like, you know, on top of,
yeah.
You know, it's like a gigantic sundae. It was like just, you know, more and more and more. I'm happy with it. You know, I go to bed every night safe and sound. I know that nothing's going to happen to the restaurant now.
Burglar alarm doesn't go off as frequent anymore.
And
either.
That doesn't happen either. Yes.
Well, that's, we don't want that going off as well. I mean, what's something of yours, Don, that in your business happens frequently, and if a problem ever did arise, you would be surprised. Sort of like he was so used to having the burglar alarm go off.
Right.
Anything like that?
The only thing I have. Valves that shut off if the water lines break, because, you know, we're testing espresso machines all the time and they're attached to water lines, and sometimes we have to leave them on overnight. And one time we didn't have those valves and one of the pipes broke. I come in the next morning, there's a river flowing out of the front of the building, and yeah, you know, we got inches of water. But now we have these valves that the pressure's too strong, they're automatically shut down and the water stops running.
But isn't that weird how it takes?
Yeah.
There's always an instance of something that creates a system in order that it doesn't happen again. But you sort of, you get used to it. Like you said, it's always breaking. Yeah. It's always breaking. But I do have someone online with us who we're going to go away from tragedy and talk about wonderful things. And she has a system to really make your life wonderful. And her name is Allison Ball, also known as Allie in the Valley. And she's dubbed as the Urban Martha Stewart. Interesting, isn't
it? That's a nice...
Yeah. How's it going tonight, Allie?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Well, I have to say that I went through your website and your YouTube, and you're not kidding. You do have a little bit of Martha Stewart flavor in you from the drinks and how to entertain everyone. But I'm going to give you a little bit more credit than Martha because you're a tad bit more hip, especially with music, should I say. but Martha might throw down and say that she's personal friends with Snoop and say, hey, listen.
Martha has come a long way, and she's hipper than we ever thought, and her transformation's been amazing. But I kind of grew up watching Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, and I just think it's great to entertain in your home and make it inviting and just getting back to our home front than just always being in restaurants. Now, don't get me wrong, I love restaurants too, because I eat out at restaurants also. But it's great that you can come home and create an atmosphere that people love to be around and are entertained by the food and the drinks and the ambiance. And it's comfortable and it's not, you're not paying all this money and you kind of stay on budget. And that's really kind of how Allie in the Valley all evolved for me, And yes, my background is music business. I used to be head of A&R for Warner Brothers, and now I'm president of a music tech company also.
But isn't it amazing how those sort of things happen, how you are influenced by Martha Stewart and you have been blessed enough to be able to go out and create a sort of lifestyle site and recreate the things that she did, but take it to a whole nother level. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you so much. Well, yeah, I put my own flair on it because I am a very middle-class working mother, wife, mother of a special needs kid. But at the same time, I really do try to take care of myself and my family. And I just love when you walk into people's homes and feel the love and the comfort and not the fussy. And I think that a little bit in our generation, we kind of got away from that. Yeah, that it's okay to make your home like inviting and comfortable with great food and drinks and that you know how to cook instead of ordering at a restaurant. Like for me, my 13-year-old daughter and my son, by the way, both know how to cook already. Wow. And I really bring young women. Yeah, I have friends since I'm in the. I have a lot of young girls who come to hang out with me who are in their 20s, and I teach them the importance of being able to cook, and it's cool to be able to be cooked. It's sexy. It's sexy to be able to go out and make the money, but bring it home and be able to cook and have an ambiance is sexy too. And I really believe that for me, getting back to that, when people come over, like people used to know me as this big time record executive and, I ran Warner Brothers for 8 years. But then I would have somebody like a Chaka Khan over for dinner. Like she was my artist and she'd come to my house and I'd be like, oh, I just cooked dinner and I made a cocktail for you. And she'd be like, wait, who are you?
You're like, you don't know me. I'm Allie in the Valley. Come on.
That's exactly how it came up. And then I'm LA, born and raised in Los Angeles. And then when I moved to the Valley, when I had my son at 16 years ago, we moved to the Valley. I said I would never move to the Valley. I'm like, I'm an LA girl. I don't move to the Valley. So we moved to the Valley. And that's kind of how I came up with the name that Allie moved to the Valley.
That's great. That's great. And I have to say that you really hit a soft spot for me during the holiday season because I love prime rib. It's one of my favorite cuts of meat, and that garlic butter prime rib that you put on your site, My goodness gracious, that was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. It was delicious, too. And what I really try to execute at Alley in the Valley, I mean, honestly, one of my, besides the presentation, but what I really try to execute that anyone can do it, even if you're not a great cook, I pick recipes that are easy to execute because not everybody can copy an Emeril Lagasse. Like, Emeril Lagasse is one of my favorites, period. But not everybody can do 10, 12 steps. You know, it's exhausting. So I really try to keep it simple. So that garlic prime rib was simple. You just do your paste. You put, it was like messy, and you put it all over the meat, the beautiful meat, and put it in the oven and forget about it until it's ready. And it was absolutely delicious. I actually made it twice.
Oh, well, next time, let me know. I'll certainly fly over and have to give it a try with you as well. But there's one thing, not to critique the site, but I'm going to give a recommendation because I know your background, and just with your personality and the connections that you have and the way that your career has come about, I would love if in the garlic butter prime rib recipe and video and everything, you put a suggested personalized soundtrack to it.
That is so funny. So you're good, man. You're really good because I have been talking about that with my team because, well, part of it is I just have to, it's between that and a podcast. So it's funny that you say that because I really do need to do that. And we talked about that for this year moving forward. So you're hitting it right on. It will probably be done before June. And, you know, that was an oversight. And, you know, when you're doing a whole bunch of stuff and then you're like, wait a minute, I don't have the music. What's going on? You know
what because I mean? in my mind, I'm reading about you and I know who you are. And I'm thinking, well, what the is she listening to while she's making this? Because I know Allie is probably listening to some good stuff.
Yeah, you're right about that. I have to incorporate that. The other thing I'm doing, I'm actually starting my new season, January 11th, shooting. I took a couple weeks off, but we're going to have a whole new intro, and we're taking it up a little bit of a notch. But the other thing I definitely will do is, I wanted to get it up and going, but I'm going to start inviting old artists over to cook with me, other people to come cook with me that I know that are in the entertainment business that love food like I do. And I'm going to start incorporating that. And you're right, music. And there'll probably be some musical guests that you'll know that are going to come and cook with me because I've been lining all of them up and then I just haven't executed, but that's next for next season. And I'm really, really excited about it. And like I said, it's really about, cooking is about love. Cooking is showing people how much you love them and putting the time in. And it's my relaxation between music and cooking. I can get up in the middle of the night and just start cooking up dishes. And like, that's what I love about the holidays is because I spend all night cooking. Like I cook the day before, the night before, and I'm in there listening to music and I'm tasting stuff. And it's just really, for me, it's like really relaxing, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt.
So I try to make it for everybody else too. Yeah.
Now, since you've been in the music industry for so long, I said you're also into the digital realm as well, which of course is the future. Everything's going digital. Who would you say that you met or even worked with that met or exceeded your expectations of who they were, that when you met them you were like, oh my goodness, I always thought that this person, it was fantastic, an idol, whoever, and it was a dream come true. Is there anyone that you can mention that was that for you?
I would say that's really hard. But I would say I met Oprah Winfrey once. She probably doesn't even remember. But I've actually met her. Actually, I met Oprah a couple times. But I ran into her at a restaurant, believe it or not. And the restaurant was quiet, a restaurant here in L.A., a famous restaurant. And she and I were going to the bathroom at the same time. We were in the bathroom at the same time. And she looked at my shoes and she goes, I love those shoes. And I went, I looked up and it was Oprah. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Oprah. And I went, I love you. You represent so much for women and just self-made. And she goes, thank you. And she hugged me.
Wow.
I went back to the table who I was sitting with. I can't even remember.
I hope she washed her hands first, though.
Yes. Yeah, we did. We were coming in and out. But I would say her, she was really warm. Like, she hugged me. I would say another role model that I have that was really warm to me, too, and I don't really know her that well, was Barbara Streisand. I met her once, and she left her phone somewhere, and I picked up the phone. I said, oh, someone, we were at a store. I said, someone left their phone here, and she walked in. She goes, oh, my God, that's my phone. And I went, oh, my God, that's Beth.
Wow.
Like, right?
Yeah.
And so I gave her the phone. Yeah, I gave her the phone, and she goes, thank you. And she hugged me, and I was like, oh, my God.
You
and
must just have that vibe of someone who just, there is always that person that you always meet. They're like, all right, here comes the hug.
Yeah, it's really, both of them hugged me, which was interesting. And I both of them I love. Babs is one of my favorite artists all time, singing wise. I can go back, you know, I'm a little old school, so that kind of music to me just gets me in my heart. And Oprah, of course, has represented so much. So those two, I would say, but I've met so many different people that I absolutely admire and love and have worked with. I've been really, really blessed to, you know, I grew up in LA, so I grew up in the entertainment business. You know, just being around it, and you know, I've had a good experience in the business.
That's great. And what happened to those? What happened to those shoes? And what happened to those shoes? Did you frame them? Did you tag?
Yeah, no, I still have them. I think they were so. I don't even remember what shoes they were. To be honest with you, I was so starstruck. I was like, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's been. You know, I've been really, really blessed to do the things that I love. And I think that's been crucial just for, in general, where I'm at, reestablishing and having my cooking blog and being music tech, is I took some time off when I had my kids, and I was really blessed to take some time off away from it all and then kind of come back to it how I envisioned it. So I'm a very blessed individual.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, be able to go the path that you envisioned and not have to change the script too much. And you have to remember, it's just us talking. There's no one listening. This is just a private phone call. So you mentioned the person that you met as your idol and was the best. Why don't you tell us, who was one of the people that you met that was one of the most horrible in the entertainment business, and what happened? It's just us talking. It's fine.
So let's just say this. I'm not going to mention names. I'll give you a hint. So, you know, I grew up in the hip hop world. We're a music business in hip hop. And one of the most famous hip hop producer artists ever was not comfortable doing business with, and just made me feel uncomfortable. They didn't really do anything, but I felt very scared.
The vibe. The vibe. You just felt it, that it wasn't comfortable. There was tension.
Yeah. I knew, as being a woman, I was at the wrong place. I was locked in a studio with all these people, and I made a quick excuse why I had to leave.
You said you had to go to the bathroom, and that's where you met Oprah, wasn't it? No.
Well, you know what's so funny? I said, I don't know if you remember the DATs, these things called DATs that we used to put our music on and play. Mm-hmm. Little kind of, they were like after cassette CDs, but they were called DATs. So I just said, I left my DATs with all the music I was going to play you at the office. I'll be back. And I've met that person a couple other times in situations, and I've never gotten a very positive vibe. And they're super powerful, super established. And it was just something about the vibe. They don't always have the best reputation either.
Yeah.
But my instincts were like, it's not good.
Yeah. And I mean, and that happens sometimes. There's just some people, and I'm sure that you've seen it as well. You too, Jim and Don.
Yeah.
Some people, you just wonder, how the heck did they even become successful? Because it seems as though they don't have any common sense in the world.
Yeah. Quite often.
There's a lot of that.
But I have to say that I love everything that you're doing. I wish you nothing but continued success. And the one area that I would like to see more of as well is, I liked the travel section of your website that you have there. But the only thing that I would like to have is you've got to get more of the kids in there. You got to let the kids join the party, because that's where the real entertainment comes in.
Well, it's funny you say that. One, I do have a new travel one coming in the next few days on Egypt, because I just got back from Egypt.
Nice.
I was in Egypt for Thanksgiving. So I'm doing a whole blog on Egypt, Cairo, Luxor, Aswan, where I went, all the pyramids. It was unbelievable. So I am doing that. It's like halfway done right now, so you will see that soon. And my kids, you know, I try to get them more involved, but with their own schedule. My son is a professional musician, trumpet player. So he's gigging, he's in high school gigging, and then my daughter is a volleyball, club volleyball, rising volleyball star. And just to get them at home at the same time to shoot, they're all like, means we have to like...
And even just to have them agree, because they probably don't think it's cool to be involved with anything mom's doing. Get out of here, mom. I don't want to be what you're doing, mom. I'm doing... They've got their own YouTube channels and everything going. We don't need to be on your show.
Yeah.
But...
my daughter gets mad at me because she says all her friends Google Allie in the Valley and all her pictures come up. And she's like, I didn't think you could put that picture up.
But you're doing a fantastic job. It was an honor to speak with you, and I want to let you know there's an open invite. I know Don agrees that anytime Allie in the Valley wants to have some adventures in Philadelphia, we'll be able to help you out with that blog to get you some wonderful restaurants, some fashion, and also some travel for that. So whenever you're out in Philadelphia, and espresso from Don will get you the best in the area. So whenever you're out and about in the area, feel free to give us a shout and make sure you keep everything.
Hey, you guys might see me sooner than you know.
Well, we definitely look forward to it. Have yourself a great night.
All right, you guys. Thank you and Happy New Year.
You do the same. And also, before you go, why don't you share your website or social medias or anything like that?
Absolutely. It's Allie in the Valley, Allie in the Valley, Valley.com. And that's my Instagram, Allie in the Valley at Instagram also, and on Facebook. So all Allie in the Valley.
Perfect. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
That was fun.
No, she was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, in her background, Jim, I mean, like a VP of Warner Brothers Records, RCA Records.
President of Tunego.
That's the digital one. Yeah. And, I mean, that's... It had to be fun, especially quite a few years ago. I mean, at the height of cassettes and CDs, the music industry was very different 20 years ago.
Yes, for us old people, we knew everything she was talking about.
Yes.
That's the scary part. Yeah.
I don't think I could mention one person on the top 10 today.
No. But, you know, one of the things that... her quote-unquote new gig has in common with her old gig is, you know, music and food go with everything.
Yes.
You know, from breakfast, lunch, dinner, everything in between, you know, there's food, there's music going on constantly.
And talking about new digs and new gigs, let's fast forward to the now completed Blue Plate.
Completed new digs.
The fire suppression's in. Everything's fancy. What are the upgrades that we can look forward to when we... And I drove by, so I won't spoil it. I'll let you share it. What's the upgrades we can look forward to, some before we even step into the restaurant, and upgrades that are there once we do enter?
Well, we were very careful on how we crafted, you know, the rebuild. You know, we're Main Street USA, you know, Main Street Mullica Hill. We wanted to stay true to that. You know, so when we crafted the outside, we stayed period correct. We had a small patio prior. We covered the patio. We did a nice copper roof on the patio for looks. But now the patio is covered, so now during storms and things of that nature, you still can relax and eat. We did take the front built part of the building off and did a wall of glass doors, which allows the dining room to be flooded with natural light now, whereas before, the last remodel of the restaurant was probably back in the early 80s, and it was, you know, dark and... just didn't have that real homey feel. So yeah. so we did a lot of natural light throughout the whole building. So now, you know, it's very comfortable, and that's kind of the trend now. And, you know, we just brightened up a lot of the building itself.
And also the building, you've added some seating as well, because you want to welcome as many people as possible.
We did. So what we did was we expanded upwards. So now we've added a banquet room / dining room upstairs that holds 75 people.
That is quite an upgrade.
It is.
That's some restaurants are half that size.
we used to be half that size. 14 years ago, we held about 65 people. Now, when all said and done, we're about like 210, 215. So we've been adding over the years here and there, never really changing too much of the footprint of the building. So this additional room that we added, 75, it used to be a two-story apartment above us. So we actually blew the third floor out. So now the ceilings in this room are 18, 22-foot ceilings, all exposed wood, all wood from when the building was first built. So, these huge 8x8, large timbers, just huge character in the
nice
room. It really lends itself to some really beautiful events upstairs, and just a lot of character. And we didn't do a lot of decor. We just let the wood speak for itself.
Yeah. Now, Don, have you ever been to Blue Plate?
I have not.
Don.
Sorry to say. I rode by it a few times.
Right down the street.
But I have to say that previously, and when you visit us the first time, I declared you having one of the greatest French onion soups around town.
Yes.
I sure hope that has continued on your menu.
We have continued to keep the French onion soup. It is just a very good classic recipe. Not too sweet, not too tart. It doesn't have a ton of cheese. I feel it has just the right amount of cheese. If you like cheese, it's there, but you're there to enjoy the soup.
Without a doubt. And it, Don, whenever you go.
I'm going.
You've got a really French onion soup. You won't go anywhere else.
I love French onion soup.
See, now, Don, we'll see you tomorrow.
There we go.
So the French onion soup is there, so you'll be seeing me shortly also. What else has come back? What did you make sure stayed on the menu? And obviously, you were one of the very early advocates and pioneers of Farmed Fork. You are well known in South Jersey as being a gracious partner to the farms and farmers. So you always had an evolving, changing menu much sooner than many other restaurants even thought it was something to do, or it was even hip to do. So what did you make sure stayed, and what can we expect on the menu today currently?
When my staff and I sat down to discuss the menu, and we sat down with the chefs and the front of the house, because the front of the house is our lifeline to the customers. I basically said everything can be on the chopping block. And at the end of the day, almost nothing was on the chopping block. We had excuses to keep everything. And, we did some tweaking of some recipes. And as of today, some of those recipes have been tweaked back to the original. Some were, some were, I look as upgrade, but some didn't go over as well as we thought. But we kept probably from the day of the fire to day one, probably 80, 85% of the menu. The other part of it probably changed more because of seasonal items that just fell off. Even though it was a year and a month, the fall time.
What was the exact date that you reopened?
We opened Friday the 13th, September Friday the 13th of 2019.
So you were smack dab in the middle of pumpkin season.
Yes. Yes.
So did you go full out pumpkin? Because that's really how a lot of foodies and people that are in my circles remember Blue Plate. We know the summer, Blue Plate's going to go crazy with peaches. Fall,
pumpkins.
All hands on board. Anything pumpkin you want.
I think it was week three before we opened up the floodgates on pumpkin. And pumpkin
that
was...
That farm was waiting, wasn't it?
It was.
They
it
had
was.
Those pumpkins sitting there like, when is Jim coming in?
Yes. From day one, people were asking, you know, pumpkin pancakes for breakfast is one of our huge, huge sellers. And, you know, we get people asking, you know, in July, end of July, they're like, pumpkin pancakes next month? And yeah, the end of next month, maybe. But yeah, as soon as we opened those floodgates, it was great. And pumpkin was actually our first seasonal menu that we did after we reopened, a week of pumpkin dinners. And
what is your favorite seasonal item to work with? Because as I mean, you're well known with pumpkin and peaches. What are the other ones, and what is your favorite to work with?
I think asparagus is another big one we do, and I think asparagus might be my favorite.
You did have an asparagus cake,
chocolate cake.
Oh, that was fabulous!
Yeah, and I think it's asparagus because we do a lot of desserts with asparagus that just seem to be very off the wall that go over good. It's hard getting it mentally past a lot of people, but once you get it on the fork and in their mouth, they're good.
I would try it. Yeah. There's not much food I don't eat at once.
So, but I think it's asparagus because it's also the beginning of the season. So after a very long winter, wanting to see new stuff, wanting to see fresh stuff, asparagus comes along.
So we have asparagus, we have peaches, we have pumpkins. What else?
We do apples.
it'll come around. Well, let's go this way. What is, even though the customers may love it, or the chefs may, what's your least favorite one to work with? Even though you have to work with it, what's your least favorite item to work with?
Probably apples.
Apples.
Because they're just so, so common.
And they can be super sweet sometimes.
Yeah, well, plenty of different apples to pick and choose, but there's just so many of them to pick and choose, and, you know, there's just so much. Actually, we're going to do, sometime over the winter, a potato dinner. And, you know, to come up with dishes that you haven't seen or are off the wall, that potatoes is still going to be the star.
Yeah.
It's a little challenging.
And because potato, I mean, this is just my opinion, potato really doesn't have a distinct taste of its own. It really takes it of it, whatever you're, however take, you're preparing it.
Right. It takes on a lot of flavor. So it's going to be challenging. And yeah, I'm sure we'll win.
Because like asparagus, I mean, asparagus is asparagus, asparagus. It has such a distinct flavor, it even comes out of your pee. It's hey, I had asparagus today.
But now the chocolate cake, if you remember, didn't taste like asparagus.
No, not in the least. But that's what I'm saying, that's why it must be challenging for you for potato, because potato is asparagus. You were able to transform it into something that you never thought of for asparagus.
Right. Potato is going to be that you'll team it up and you'll lose it. It'll be, you know,
it's almost like a tofu, flavor wise. I mean, not texture, but flavor wise.
Yeah. It just picks up everything that you mix it with and you lose it. So it's going to be, you know, the menu is going to be more texture oriented, and you know, we're going to have to be real careful about, you know, not overwhelming the dish.
Now, what did it feel like? Because also, what you guys are well known for and very successful, you had lines out the door. I remember brunch. You were well known for brunch. How was it stepping into the kitchen, getting the team ready, getting that first brunch fired up?
It felt great. It felt great prior. You know, it felt like, a rough day from day one. I mean, you know, the amazing thing is when we opened up Friday the 13th in the morning time, crew showed up 5:30 in the morning, got the place ready. We weren't sure we were going to open up yet. There was just, you know, too many little things going on. And the staff just said, let's just open up. We'll deal with them. We've dealt with problems in the past. we'll deal with them. Let's just get the doors open. So we did, and it was a great day. But when we announced it on social media, I think 8 a.m. that we're open, by 9:30, we had a full restaurant, and we didn't expect that.
And sort, I mean, I understand that you're a professional. It's sort of like riding a bike. You're used to it. But there had to be some rust because, one, it's a new area that you're working in. So it wasn't like the well-oiled machine that it previously was.
Right. At this point, you know, it is a new restaurant. And everything, you know, tables and chairs are not in the same spots. Tables and chairs are new. Yes, a lot of the staff is the same, but there's still a lot of new staff. The kitchen, every piece of equipment is new now. So every motion the guys
got used to. You see that one fire burner was out, so you knew just when to move the pan.
All those little things, yeah, all come into play. You know, things that, you know, the guys knew, hey, you know, this takes 6 minutes, this takes 3 minutes. None of that stuff is known at that time. So it's just working it out and then just being, you know, busy, you know, knock on wood, you know, thank God we were busy, but, you know, trying to figure out the small details and stuff just took a while to get to.
What's the one aspect of the new restaurant that you absolutely personally love yourself?
I love that it has, I was going to say my personal touch, but it's not quite that. It's Blue Plate's personal touch. You know, we've been there for 14 years, but we took over an existing restaurant. We never closed down to remodel. We've always just tweaked. Even, you know, the quote-unquote major remodel that we did prior to the fire, it was just a ton of tweaking going on. Now it's all done, you know, in what I feel Blue Plate represents. You know, it's a lot of just natural, you know, ton of exposed wood and ceiling throughout the building. And it's, but it still has Main Street feeling, still has a country feeling. We have a lot of wainscoting in. And we put a little bit of elegance in. You know, the booths are covered in this beautiful blue fabric, which, actually, talking about blue, the restaurant never had any blue in it. No Blue Plate ever existed. No blue walls, no blue material. Now, currently, we probably have 15, 20, maybe 25 different shades of blue throughout the building. Everything blue, you know, different shades. And it's not, I don't feel it's overbearing because it's all different shades and different textures.
Yeah.
But that was like something that we finally put into the building, and I love it. And, you know, I get, you know, customers come in and just say how much they love the new feel of the building, and they love, you know, the exposed wood. The main dining room is exposed ceilings. Once we ripped down the old ceilings, we realized they had all this beautiful wood, so we decided to keep it exposed.
That's awesome. That's great. And yeah. I mean, it's quite a transformation, really, the story of rising up again, bigger, better than ever, and being embraced as warmly as you have been by the community. And also having the team stick with you and know that they were with you the entire time, and they're ready for battle. They're ready to move forward for however many more years that you want to do this, because I just envision success every single day for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the community coming together, just totally overwhelming. I mean, you know, I live locally, so, you know, I would see people out in the street, at the store, wherever we went, we would see them always, you know, what do you need? What can we do? When we opened the doors, they all showed up.
That's great.
I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and the press has been with you. Carrier Post named you one of the hottest places in 2019. Mm-hmm. Make sure you check out in 2020. I think you even have a little something of 6ABC coming up.
Correct.
So it's just, it's going to keep coming, my friend. And we couldn't have been more thrilled to have you join us.
Happy to join you.
Thank
anytime.
You. Thank you. And I think the one thing for potato, maybe Italian espresso could go with potato, Don. What do you think?
I think you should try it.
Sure. We'll give it a spin.
But Don, it was great to see you.
As always.
It's always fun to be here in studio. But we're going to go around 10 seconds, say your name, whatever you want to plug, whatever you want to say, because we're going to be wrapping this thing up.
Jim Melby from Blue Plate Restaurant, Mullica Hill, New Jersey, right on Main Street. Come check us out, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Donato Marino with D&L Coffee Service. You can check us out on Facebook. And that's it.
There you go. I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. This is Small Bites. We're on Sunday, 6:35 p.m. on Wildfire Radio. You can check us out the following day on all your Apple products on iTunes. We're also syndicated on AM stations and a whole bunch of other providers that just go to our website to check it out. It's too much for me to list. And we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week. But before that, I want to thank Allie from the Valley for joining us.
Yes.
Rude of me to say, not to thank her. Matters.
Of course.
Would have been a bad way to start 2020 off, Don. But the way to really end the show now is with the joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martlin.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling for Small Bites. A guy walks into a doctor's office. He's got a carrot in one ear, a banana in the other ear. He's got a French fry in each nostril. He says, Doc, I feel terrible. The doctor says, you're just not eating right. I tweet a joke every day at 4:20 p.m. Follow me on Twitter, @JackieMartling.